So this day is declared a celebration day. Oh, my Father, I thank you for everything that you have purposed, everything that you have decided, everything that you have a need of, out of each and every single saint that is in this room right now. I give you praise. I honor you. You see, many times we underestimate the bread and the wine. And you have to remember that when Abraham, the father of faith, met up with Melchizedek, who was the high priest and king of Salem, king of peace, he brought out a gift, bread and wine. And we underestimate why. But it was a forecast of the future. You know, when we realize the fullness of God present in us, why is it so hard for us to comprehend why he took such simple items to make them a connection for us to himself? Paul to the Corinthians says, don't take this lightly. Meaning, discern the body of Christ. If you're angry at yourself, you are part of the body of Christ. How many have ever gotten upset with themselves? Well, shut it down. Are you not a child of the Most High God? Tell your neighbor, I'm a child of the Most High. Now, who is it that gives you the right to criticize a child of the Most High? And that includes Seth over here. So, Mom, don't pick on him. He's a child of the Most High. You say, why are we picking on Seth? Because a lot of times when I was a boy, I thought I was the worst thing that ever hit my family. Because all I ever heard was do this right and do that right and do this right and do that right and do this right and do that right. And I'm still doing it when I'm 30 and 40. Any relate? So what are you doing picking on Seth? Because it starts at that age. And it starts even younger. We criticize. We expect. And we want perfection from our children. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is it gets carried over into the spirit. And then we start criticizing ourselves in the spirit. And the Lord says, you're my creation. I find you absolutely beautiful. I find you perfect because of the blood of the Lamb. Uh-huh. Now you know the truth, but do you apply it? When you come to this table today, be aware that your brother, your sister, in Christ, whom you can't stand, may be under construction just like you. Their flaw might be the very irritation that you need to cart into your own heart. Yes, cart it into your own heart and start praying for them so that they can be perfected like you. If you think you're perfect, or if you think Jesus in you is perfect. See, it's up to you. I've got Christians that if I was like them, I would be able to be buddy-buddy with them. But you know what? I would have to compromise the Savior. That hurts. Can't compromise the Savior. The Savior loves them all, and I need to lay down my life for them and intercede for them until they be perfected according to His plan for them, not my plan for them. I know, Mom and Dad, you have a plan for Seth, but God has a plan for Seth as well. And He will perfect Seth. He'll perfect you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. and agree with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today, if there's someone in my heart that has really wounded me, when I take this communion, part of it will be for them, so that they can be healed. Because you are the healer, Lord. If they've done bad things against me, like they did against Jesus, I'll take his example from the tree. Forgive them, for they don't have understanding of what they're doing to me. They don't comprehend the fullness of what they're irritating me with. If they did, they would shut it down. Today, I have knowledge, and I can set them free. And I ask you to heal them. Like Job, who prayed for his irritations. He probably didn't feel like it. But he did it anyway. And the end result is, he got healed. But God healed them as well. That's the purpose of the house of prayer. To see healing in the body of Christ on every level. Men, women, children. Starting off with apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, and all the health ministries. I would like you to just bow your heads, please. Father, without you, we can do nothing. And when we humble ourselves to you, you have an opportunity to flow through us that we may be transformed from what we were to what we need to become. So I ask that you would bring life to your word so that your people may grow and become mature in your glory. In Jesus' name. I'd like you to remind yourselves that in 1 Corinthians 12, which we will touch later, the body of Christ is multifaceted. It has all kinds of people in it. And we have a tendency to compare. Again, because of what we do best. Find fault with someone else. And then find fault with ourselves. And the new nature has problems with that, because obviously the new nature is your spirit man. And unless it is developed and sees what God wants and performs through you what God wants, you will become stagnant and you will sit on a pew, and the body of Christ will never rise. The intent of the body, from God's perspective and St. Paul's instructions, is that every joint would supply. And over, the Holy Spirit keeps reminding us we need to develop our spiritual senses. We need to develop the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And yet, we struggle with it. Because we're aiming, maybe sometimes to please people, or to sit where we're comfortable. To come out of our comfort zone is really God's plan. To come out of self-evaluation, which is, I'm not trying to say it's bad to evaluate yourself. But if it's so concentrated that it keeps you on the chair and it paralyzes you, then what has it accomplished? If you look at the disciples, all 12 of them, were they perfect when he sent them out? Did he wait for them to be perfected? Could they cast all kinds of demons out? No. They failed. Because there's one particular time where he comes off the mountain and the young boy is throwing himself into the water and into the fire and all the garbage, and the father of the boy says, your disciples couldn't do it. So, what is different between the body of Christ then and the body of Christ today? If you're waiting for the next guy to develop his spiritual talents, then the body's not going to rise. I believe that the many faceted people that God provides to a church to rise in obedience to Christ . I've seen it with a small crew of workers, but then there's a large crew that like to go for the ride, and they let the other guy do the work. It's not God. It's been the church, but it's not God. It's not from God. Scripture says very clearly, every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. How would you like to remove your ankle bones for a few weeks and walk around on your knees? You'd then get a compassion for those who are the ankle bones. Or vice versa. Why aren't you rising? Why aren't you interceding? Why aren't you doing? And it's not an accusation. It's, do you feel worthy? And sometimes we are so down on ourselves that the enemy has lied to us so long, and we believe the lie, that we become ineffective and useless in the body. And then the church is dormant, and the people say, well, why bother go to church? I don't change. Well, maybe you're the one that has the gift to change them. And if you keep quiet and hold it in, they won't get what they're supposed to get. I compliment you guys that when you have something to do and something to say and something to operate in, that you take courage and do it in obedience to Christ. And not just when you're here, but when you're at home. If you get a nudge to call somebody and intercede for them and say, you're in my heart today, I need to pray for you, would you have 2 minutes? Is it so hard? I say, oh, I'm too young. Oh, I'm too old. Oh, I'm too this. I'm too busy. You're none of the above. You're a servant of the Most High. That's what you are. And Jesus asked us to be servants of love. It's compassionate servants of love. Always ready to obey to the best of our ability. And not to buckle under all these crazy innuendos that come in through your head. If I get any amens, or are you all sleeping? Well, is it true? Does it happen to you? Is it he on your case, or is he just on my case? Does he accuse just at my house? Or does he work in your house? If he's working in your house, shut him down. Begin to rejoice and give thanks. Someone asked me yesterday, do you have a word of wisdom? I said, yes, rejoice. Well, I don't want to. Because the problem is so big. I says, yes, and while you're focused on the problem, guess what? It's going to get bigger. But if you focus on the one who can fix the problem and start rejoicing, your attitude will change. Amen? Isn't that what God wants? He wants our attitude to be changed. And he wants us to be full of life and full of intercession for all those that are hurting. Not just the ones that are in the room, but the ones that are at home, that you are connected to in the spirit. I remember the Lord showed me one time to begin to intercede for a man of God that didn't happen to be of our denomination. How many know we pray for ours? The heck with the other guy. And I said to the Lord, and he says, where did I take you from? And I said, oh, you got a point there, Lord. He says, have you any idea where you were when I first laid hands on you through a vessel that you have no idea of? I said, do you mean the day that I was born again or the day that I was filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no, way, way before that. And do you know, to this day, there are several pictures that come into my head of individuals who laid hands on me that I wasn't even smart enough to be able to say amen or thank you. So you don't know who started interceding for you, or when, or of what caliber, or of what denomination they were. So there you go with your attitude. Get rid of it. It's not from God. The body of Christ is multifaceted. But I want to show you something out of 1 John. First John chapter 4. Verse 13. I know if I took you to the Amplified, you'd get a lot more meat, but I don't want to concentrate on this. I want you to give you just a little gift about who God really is. We know that we live in Him, and He in us, inside, because He gives us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, not the Savior of the denominations that you and I belong to that we think are so perfect. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives inside of him. Kim's version. And he in God. Now that's the word. 16, very important. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Next part. If you don't have a circle around it, you might want to underline it. God is love. Say it to your neighbor. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. Ouch. Because if I change that word, whoever lives in judgment lives in hell. Well, I just gave you my version. But it's the truth. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Now that's pretty sweet, if you believe it. If you believe it. I could go on and tell you that if you don't love your neighbor that can't stand you, don't tell me you love God. Because he died for him or her. The Lord was reminding me this morning that many years ago he began to show me that he didn't put me in a seminary on purpose. Because many seminaries could be called cemeteries because they produce a lot of dead people. And I'm not anti-seminaries. It just isn't what God wanted for me. I can remember a word of knowledge that impacted my life and almost drove me crazy was that the spirit of counsel is on you, son. The spirit of counsel is on you, son. And it kept coming after one after the other, after another. And it was coming from multiples of directions until it was driving me cuckoo. And I wanted to know what it meant. So I went to my highest authority at that time. And guess what he said? I want you to go to Westfield University and become a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and then we can use you. Oh, you lie. I did too. My problems were over. I had all my solutions. My executive orders had come in. So I marched myself over to Westfield College. I spent one day on that campus. Got all the information that I needed. I even had my wallet set ready so that I knew that I had enough to be able to make the ends meet. And the very next morning, the Holy Spirit had something to say. He got me up around 6 o'clock before the rest of the house came to life. And he said, go downstairs. And I went downstairs and I sat there with my cup of coffee. And I heard, take your pad and pencil now. That's all I heard. Take your pad and pencil now. Oh, I can do that. So I got my pad, and I'm sitting on my little rocker, and I'm rocking away, praying in the Spirit, and I heard, write. How many know the Holy Ghost can write faster than you can? And when I got done the words, they went something like this. I can't quote for sure because I'd have to go back to the pad because I still have it. If I would have wanted Freud to teach you, you would have went 20 years ago. If I would have wanted you in that college, I would have put you there and I would have had you graduate. But if I wanted my spirit to teach you, I will do it my way and not yours. Well, guess what? All hell broke loose. Every person that was around me that was so excited that I finally had the solution to go to college. I had already tried two other schools, by the way, and rejected by both. One was down in South Carolina, and one was in Oklahoma. Both of them rejected, and I got the money back. I still have those checks to prove it. I even have a copy of the application with the signed statement that says, on the bottom, you'll never get your money back, because once you send your money in, that's it. Well, they sent me my money back. Twice. Not once, twice. Why? Because I would have been the first alien in that school. Yeah, because I'm Canadian. And I still have that paperwork. And I went to Canada and did all the paperwork that I needed to send it back to Oklahoma. And they still sent me back my check and my application. So talk about a closed door. So obviously Westfield was the answer. It was so close by. It would be with my family. It was going to be great. My wife was happy. My father-in-law was happy. My parents were happy. Kim was happy. Yay! God's on the job. And guess what? He closed all the doors. You're not going there. Why am I telling you this? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. But when you obey, you're going to get persecuted. Yeah. Everybody turned against me. You've gone nuts. Then I did my most important thing. I obeyed and called Pastor Gino for an appointment. I did. And guess what? He never showed up. So I sat in that cotton picking restaurant for 2 hours and drove back home and called him, and he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot you." Oh, you think it's funny? And guess who was laughing at home? You think you're supposed to be with him? If he had any love for you, he would have showed up. God is love. Is his love way going to be a tough way? Yes. Will you let go of all your attitudes and ideas that you think are so perfect in order to be accepted and fit in? This is what I wrote this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:12. One body, many parts. And just don't go there yet. It's not time. Just want you to close your eyes. I find that the world does not demand that I act perfect to be accepted and loved. How many know that? The bartender at your local bar can be more loving than many pastors. Yeah. Yes, and will accept you and will give you a fix of your favorite booze to take away your most incredible pain. And it works every time, till you're hooked. How many of you with me? Many pastors will say, "Be perfect and then you can be my friend." And if you're not such, suck it up. Then I love you. When you are perfect. So I'm now on a treadmill. And if their pride in their gift presses them forward, they will make you back up and give them room to pass by. They'll pass by you, and yes, they will plow you through and push you aside because I have a gift. But love is not in the driver's seat, because God is not driving them. The gift is. The pride in the gift can be deceptive. The pride in what I've received from God can motivate me to do things that are not of God because it's not love driven. Now you can go to 1 Corinthians 12. You see, what I'm trying to show you right now is that God is love. And the one driving force that will never find fault with you is love. We're going to go very quickly. 1 Corinthians 12:12. One body, many parts. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though in all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given of the same one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for the reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, etc., and it goes on. Verse 20.